It's the year of the T20 World Cup, one which we have waited for so long after everything that's happened in 2020. It's the run-up to the T20 World Cup 2021, a year that has been giving us a lot in terms of Test cricket. And now it's time for some white ball action. Hello and welcome to Hotspot Daily with me, Chetan Narula, and Daniel Locross in London. And we'll be previewing the T20 series, a five-match blockbuster T20 series between India and England. And let me tell you this, that these teams are ranked number one and two. England number one, India number two. And perhaps they're also already the starting favorites for this year's T20 World Cup. Like I said, it's going to be a mega blockbuster clash between these two sides. Daniel, your first thoughts?
I can't wait for it. I mean, it's so exciting, isn't it? The fact that we've got a World Cup, a T20 World Cup happening in India later in the year, gives extra spice to the contest. Coming off the back of that Test series with England, I think, with an entirely new look side, because they have very much a red ball team and a white ball team. And here for England, it's about trying to tinker with and get the exact formulation that they want from their 11. They've got a lot of choices. We've seen not an awful lot of T20 internationals, and this is a superb opportunity for both sides, actually, to get the right formation. And when I say formation, it's not just personnel, it's where they bat. There's going to be a lot of discussion about Jos Buttler at the top of the order, or does he come in lower? Ben Stokes is being used in the IPL higher up the order. Will England be tempted to do that? And really, for England, the formulation precisely of their seam bowlers, it promises to be an absolute thriller.
And I'll tell you, and I'll tell our listeners, what is the one thing that we're not going to talk about in this series? That is the pitch. Because you can be absolutely guaranteed that it's going to be an absolute batting belter. There's going to be some crowd at the Ahmedabad Stadium. And for five T20s, they are going to get their money's worth. Everybody who is saying that, oh, they've missed out on 3 days action and 2 days action in the third and fourth test, they are going to get their money's worth in this five-match T20 series. As Daniel said, there's a lot to talk about, so let's just straight away dig into it. Let's talk about the England team selection first. As you mentioned, yes, there's also the small matter of Jos Buttler and Ben Stokes opening, whether one of them will open or not, because, you know, both of them have been tried as openers in the IPL. But I also like David Malan. He's been picked up by Kings 11 Punjab. Jason Roy, he's also trying to get back into form. Johnny Bairstow, always an option. Sam Billings, a very, very good option. And then, of course, a lot to talk about in the bowling. So tell me, what's your viewpoint of the England T20 squad? Do you think this squad is close to their T20 World Cup selection? And who do you think is their starting 11 going to be in this first T20?
Oh, well, I mean, look, it's so much speculation there. Jason Roy, I think, is in possession and is going to keep possession for at least the first few games. He's not in the greatest of form, actually, at the moment. He's had a pretty poor year since last February. So he'll be slightly looking over his shoulder. And, you know, he might be looking over his shoulder at a man who's not even in the squad, Alex Hales, who's been scoring so many runs in T20 franchises, but has been frozen out of the England team since two positive dope tests back in 2019. I think they'd like Buttler to open. It swings and roundabouts, but they feel they've got a deep enough middle order. Owen Morgan has very much worked on being what they call a finisher, I guess. So they're thinking that he can do that job further down. So we'd be looking at something like Roy, Buttler, Bairstow, Malan, who's the ranked number one T20 international batsman in the world. Morgan and Stokes with two left-handers coming in at five and six. Could be Sam Curran, Moeen Ali, Adil Rashid, Mark Wood, Jofra Archer would be my guess. But, you know, they do love Chris Jordan. So trying to squeeze him in there as a T20 specialist, maybe Mark Wood would miss out. There's probably battling for about three different places in the England lineup at the moment. And they're about as strong, I would say this squad is certainly as strong as it could possibly be, with that one caveat around Alex Hales. And also, just with some form and fitness issues, Jofra Archer is a concern. Of course, we saw him being a concern in the Test series with the swollen right elbow, or at least a niggle in his right elbow. Four overs at a time, England will hope they can nurse him through this series, because they really do want to set up their template for the rest of the year.
I mean, I look at the strength of the squad. I know the strength of the Indian squad, but I look at the strength of the English squad, and I'm really amazed. You look at the all-rounder quality, Moeen Ali, Ben Stokes, Sam Curran, Tom Curran, all of them fetching high prices in the IPL. You look at the keepers, you have Johnny Bairstow, Billings, Butler. It's really intense. I mean, everybody's been talking about the Indian bench strength. I think the English bench strength in white ball cricket, or at least in T20 cricket, is no less. And for a fact that England are gunning to be the only side to hold both the ODI and T20 World Cups together. I know Ewan Morgan has set his sights on that. There's been a lot of retirement talk around Ewan Morgan, but if he gets that T20 World Cup, maybe he'll talk about his retirement, not before, not any time before, because you know what, Daniel, he has two opportunities to get his hands on the T20 trophy before he lets go of the ODI trophy. The next ODI World Cup is in 2023, and you have two T20 World Cups. So if not this year, then maybe next year. So Ewan Morgan has some room for error this year, and then he can go and do it in Australia, which will be an even bigger win for him. For me, the biggest debate is how you use your batting depth. And this is a concern for both sides. It's a concern for India as well, because you have KL Rahul and Shikhar Dhawan and Virat Kohli and Rohit Sharma at the top of the order. How many of these can you play? You can probably play only three of these. And I look at the same problem with the English T20 squad, because yes, you have Jason Roy, you have David Malan, you have Ewan Morgan, Liam Livingstone. He's also had some good hits. But then you also have Ben Stokes and Joss Butler and Johnny Bairstow. All of these batsmen can bat in the top three and four. And mind you, there's no spot for Joe Root, who's not been too bad in T20 cricket. I mean, he's not your swashbuckler, but the last time I toured England in 2018, he had some really good hits out there in the middle. And he's no slouch in T20 cricket. He's an accumulator like Virat Kohli. So in the eventual T20 World Cup, there could be a spot for him. There could be a spot for Alex Hales. It's a problem of plenty. How do England sort out this problem of plenty?
Well, Root's problem really, I think, is the emergence of David Malan, because he's sort of playing that role that Root was playing. And I think there was sort of skepticism whether Malan would be able to keep going with that. But what's happened is that despite this slightly eccentric start, Malan tends to go quite slowly in his first 9-10 balls and then explode, which can be a dangerous manoeuvre, because if you get out on your 14th, 15th ball, then you've really damaged your team. But he hasn't done that. He's gone on and got 50 after 50 after 50. I mean, he's averaging 50 in T20 international cricket. It's quite extraordinary. So I think they're going to stick with Malan. And I think it's come at a good time for England, because it's a great opportunity to allow Joe Root some rest. He's been on the road captaining England in the Test series. He can then take the white ball leg off. So this will therefore become a really big moment for David Malan. Can he actually keep hold of that spot? It seems strange to say that about the number one ranked T20 international batsman, but he'll be under pressure. He has to perform well in these five games, or else Root, who sort of does that role, is looking over his shoulder. Now, as for the rest of the batting, there's no one else that England really see as an accumulator. Everybody is powerful and goes gung-ho from the very beginning. And the marvellous thing for an England lineup is that they bat so deep. When you have Moeen Ali coming in down at 7, maybe even 8, or Sam Curran in that same role, and that slew of left-handers, that really does give them an incredible amount of power all the way down their order, which I suppose is true also of India. It'd be interesting to see India's approach in these games, because they've been criticised a little bit in white ball cricket, especially in one-day cricket, for not quite going off at the tempo that modern one-day international cricket has become. Will they adopt that sort of tempo in T20? They did when they were in England the last time. And actually, Kuldeep Yadav figured quite strongly in England the last time these two sides met in T20 internationals. I wonder what they'll see with England having so many left-handers down the order. Will they want the left arm that takes the ball away from the left-hander? Similarly, will they want off-spinners? Will they want Sundar bowling and taking the ball away from those left-handers? Those matchups are going to be so, so important, I think, in this series.
Well, it's an interesting mix of news, Daniel, if I can say so, because there's a lot to talk about when it comes to the Indian squad at the moment. Let's start with the bowling. You mentioned Kuldeep Yadav. His stock has fallen a bit. He's not in the Indian T20 squad. He was in the Australian T20 squad, and suddenly he's been sent back to domestic cricket. Selectors want him to regain a bit of confidence. Now, who they have brought in place of him is Varun Chakravarti, who had a sensational IPL. The problem is Varun Chakravarti has failed his fitness test. and he's set to miss out the T20s. Remember, he did not go to the Australian, he was not able to take part in the Australian T20 series because he was injured. So that's 2 out of 2 misses for Varun Chakravarti. You don't get too many opportunities. Now, you would think that the Indian squad has another spinner, and they do. Yuzvendra Chahal, who will be your frontline spinner. But what about the second spinner? Then you have Rahul Tevatiya, who also did really well. There's also Washington Sundar. There is Akshar Patel. So there is no dearth of spinners, really. But Rahul Tevatiya, we need to talk about him. He's your batting all-rounder. He can also bowl his arm over. He too has failed his fitness test. And he too is set to miss out on the T20s. Now, it is flabbergasting that these kids who get their lifetime opportunities, it's a tremendous story. Rahul Tevatiya and Varun Chakravarti, it's a tremendous story. Poor kids playing cricket for their passion, perform well, catch the eye, make it to the T20 side, Indian T20 side, international cricket, and they're not fit enough. What have they been doing for the last 3-4 months?
Can I ask a question on that? Because I think I saw a tweet. It might have been from Harsha. I can't quite remember. But it was suggesting that in the case of Chakravarti, because of his background not in professional cricket, he might have started at a disbenefit, say, from the guys who've been playing professional cricket in the ranks from the age of 17, 18. And I just wonder if, in addition to that, whether lockdown or COVID has made access to facilities that much more difficult. You know, if you are playing constantly and you're within the Indian setup and have been for a while, then I don't know, maybe do you have access to better facilities? Are these guys sort of actually struggling because they've come out of nowhere, in a sense?
Well, it's a yes and no, because yes, they haven't had that sort of training. He went back into the corporate world, got a job, came back, got recognized in domestic cricket, was picked up by scouts and then played for KKR. But he's been playing for them for the last couple seasons at least. He's been part of that mix. So it's not an excuse that you're not unfit at the time of reckoning. Yes, he was injured for Australia, but there's also been a lot of domestic cricket that's been playing. My point is this, Indian society has been open for the last 5-6 months. You know, restrictions on usage of gyms for sportspersons has been lifted for a long time now. He can always go for a run. He can maintain a bare minimum of fitness in terms of the yo-yo test or the new running fitness test that has come in for the Indian team. You can always run and practice and get fitter and fitter. So there's no excuse, really. No excuse whatsoever for failing your fitness test. Look, Daniel, I am not the fittest person, so I do sympathize. I know what it is to just eat and eat and hog and get out of shape very quickly. But these are cricketers who've dreamt from their childhood about playing for India. It's been a dream outside their reach, but suddenly it's been in their grasp. You cannot let it go like this. And they have been part of domestic structures. They have been part of IPL structure. I mean, if you're part of the IPL structure, how can you be unfit? There have to be regimes. For God's sake, the IPL starts in 3 weeks' time. You have to be fit. You have to be fit for that, at least, if you're not fit for the Indian team. So this excuse just doesn't cut it. Just doesn't cut it. But let's talk about the Indian batting. Yes, it's a problem of plenty. Surya Kumar Yadav, finally in the Indian team. A lot of people have been waiting for it. Virat Kohli, Rohit Sharma, KL Rahul, Rishabh Pant. It's an interesting mix. Why? I'll tell you. Because KL Rahul was keeping wickets. He's been confirmed to be the opener with Rohit Sharma. So Shikhar Dhawan will be sitting out. He's not been confirmed as yet whether he will be keeping wickets. And I think Rishabh Pant will be in the mix, keeping wickets. It makes for an interesting batting lineup. So now if you look at the playing 11, you have KL Rahul and Rohit Sharma. Then Virat Kohli at number 3. Shreyas Iyer and Rishabh Pant at 4 and 5. Then do you play Hardik Pandya or Surya Kumar Yadav? It's not a debate there. You can't play both. You have to pick one, and you pick Hardik Pandya, because then you need your battery of bowling, because Washington Sundar has to come in. You need Yuzvendra Chahal, and India tend to play 3 fast bowlers. So I am thinking Surya Kumar Yadav will not immediately get into the playing 11. It could be a toss-up between Shreyas Iyer and Surya Kumar Yadav. The team management might decide to put Rishabh Pant at number 4, where he bats for the Delhi Capitals. So it's going to be an interesting mix. And I think if they really are trying to push it for the strike rate factor, as you had mentioned, I think they will put in Surya Kumar Yadav ahead of Shreyas Iyer. It's going to be an interesting call. But one thing I would just like to say is that India have made a concerted effort of upping their strike rate, upping the ante. And this is something that we saw in the T20 series. This is something that we have seen in Virat Kohli's batting over the last year or so. In T20 cricket, his strike rate has really gone up. So this team selection to me cries out the fact that they will be going all out from ball one.
The question I put to you is, I think that England probably have a fairly good idea of their first choice 11 or 12.
Yeah, yeah.
And what they might be trying to find out is precisely the order in which they want them to bat. So we may see a little bit of tinkering with the order of players. But I expect England actually not to delve into their reserves in their squad too much in this, if there are no injuries, and to try to get a kind of settled unit out on the park every time. Do you think India are at that stage, or would you expect them, you know, let's say India are 2-0 up, could you see them making plentiful changes for the third game because they need to see other players in these circumstances and try to work out what their best 11 is?
Well, I think that's a very interesting point that you make. And I think India are far away from identifying their best playing 11 in the T20 format. I think they have a formula. They want to pick three paces. They want to pick three spinners. One of them is an all-rounder, the spin all-rounder. Then they also want to pick Hardik Pandya, whether he can bat or ball. I think that is going to be a very interesting point. I think they're slowly building up his bowling fitness. His action has been remodeled a bit. I'm told he's taking smaller steps in when he's running up. So they're trying to remodel it. He bowled a bit in Australia, so it'll be interesting to see if he's completely ready yet. He's been putting up videos. So I think the Hardik Pandya bowling question is what holds the key to their playing combination. But if you ask me directly, then the answer is no. I do not think that India know what their best playing 11 is. At best, they know what the formula is, what formula they want to play with in T20 format. Now, India usually don't experiment with their playing 11s too much until they have secured the series. So unless and until they go up 3-0 in the series, I don't expect too much experimentation. What I do expect is, in the ODI setup is somewhere they would like to experiment. And even before we started recording, I mentioned the possibility of the Asia Cup in June, where a second string Indian team may travel. So again, that might be an experimental hotbed for the T20 World Cup. But look, 6 months out from the T20 World Cup, I can say categorically, India do not know their best 11 yet. As you mentioned, England do. These two sides, I think the favorites, joint favorites, or at least if we have to pick the four semi-finalists, let's pick, because it's a long road to the T20 World Cup.
Yep.
Let's pick the four semi-finalists for the T20 World Cup today at the start of the series. You go first.
Well, I'll go. I think India and England will be certainly up there. You'd expect them to make the semi-finals. And, you know, I'm going to say the West Indies, because they are always exceptional at T20 cricket. And they play such an explosive fashion. And then to me, it's down to, well, New Zealand. Do you ever write off New Zealand? They've got a lot of players who've played a lot of IPL cricket. For me, the problem New Zealand have is in their batting, but their bowling is very used to those conditions. So I'm having a bit of a toss-up for my fourth, and I'm struggling because I could say Pakistan, I could say Australia, I could say New Zealand. And if I'm forced, because I like them, I'm going to say New Zealand.
You know what, Daniel? It's my exact same top four or four semi-finalists for the T20 World Cup. India, England, West Indies, and New Zealand. India and England, because conditions and bench strength and the strength of their squads. West Indies, perennial favorites in this format. A lot of them probably playing their last T20 World Cup or maybe the last two T20 World Cups. Kieran Pollard, I think, is a fantastic captain. I think he would take on Darren Sammy's legacy forward and potentially win at least one of these two T20 World Cups for the West Indies. I would be surprised if they don't win any of two T20 World Cups. So West Indies, always perennial favorites in this format at least. And yes, New Zealand, because a lot of their players are now silently playing in a lot of T20 tournaments. And there are a lot of good buys. I mean, you'll just have to look at the number of New Zealand players in the IPL and so much experience out on there. So I would have said Pakistan. They're always the dark horses. You can never rule them out. But I think playing a T20 World Cup in India especially with the crowds in, is going to be a big moment for this Pakistan side. I think they will not be able to handle the pressure. So I think they will get burdened by expectations of going and having to perform in India. So if it was happening in Australia, I would keep them as dark horses, but not when the tournament is happening in India. So Pakistan, I'm ruling out. If I have to pick a dark horses, then it could be Australia, because I think they have the blueprint of a good T20 side. They just don't know what their best 11 or their best squad. A lot of teams struggle with not knowing what their best 11 is. I don't think Australia know what their best T20 squad is. So if they can get that right, maybe they might be in the mix, because they're Australia, for God's sake. So, but yeah, I think we agree. I think quickly we need to predict the series outcome.
I'm going to go, and it's simply because it's home turf. I think these two sides are so closely matched that there's really nothing between them. So I'm going to go with home advantage with the crowd in. I'm going to go India 3-2.
Well, I'll also go with 3-2, but I think it'll be a tougher and closer contest than the tests. I think Ewan Morgan's side, they are much more settled. I would go for 3-2 to England. I think they're really gunning for it. And when we have seen England really gunning for a white ball trophy, I think they have done exceptionally well. They surprised a lot of people when they came here and played the ODI series, when they came here and played the last T20 World Cup. So I think they're gunning for it this time. And I think India are a bit unsettled in their approach. England more settled. And I think, which makes, in my view, England the starting favorites. How about that? We are picking the opposite teams, really. Yeah. And I think it's really a good mix.
I'm not going to let this podcast end, though, without me getting your one-word answer. I don't know if you saw it yesterday, but Dashun Gunatilaka, you mentioned Kieran Pollard. Dashun Gunatilaka was given out obstructing the field yesterday, and this has blown up all over Twitter with people having their say one way or the other. Before we go, out or not out?
Not out.
Not out. I agree. Sorry for that. I had to get it.
Yeah.
It was the most extraordinary thing I've seen in a very long time.
Look, I think it's a gray area. This is the longer answer. It is a gray area, but you know, if you have to get an analogy from Formula One, I think that was a racing incident because he didn't know where the ball was. I think he was not looking where the ball was. Obstruction happens when you know where the ball is. And I don't think the batsman knew. In Formula One analogy, it was like a racing incident.
So if you're listening to this and wondering what we're talking about, just check it out on Twitter. Go and look for the obstructing the field that happened in the One Day International. Dashun Gunatilaka, poor fella. It's a thing of marvel and a thing of wonder. You don't see it every day.
I don't think this series to blow up will need an incident like that. And we can't really wait to bring all the reviews and thoughts from this series and the ODIs. And we'll be coming back to you after the end of the first T20. Until then, it's goodbye from me, Chetan Narula, and Daniel Nokras.
Goodbye.